We're going to turn to the Word of God just now, reading the Scriptures. It's Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go. And I would just like to trim the message there a little bit, just to show you the force of what he's saying. If I could leave out temporarily, of course, temporarily, leave aside the word go. And there's his answer, I will not. And we know that the full statement is, of course, I will not go. But I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. There's quite a lot for you to think about there. And he said, that is, Moses said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness. Now, this is a man who knows his way in the wilderness. It's like me speaking to a sinner who says you've been round a few corners. It's not as if you were in Sunday school all your days and you knew what it's like out there in the world. You know about the wilderness, you've been there, you see. A lot of our people haven't been in the wilderness. That's what Moses is saying, and you've been there. You've been there for years. Have you been in the world and in sin for years? And yet Moses is saying, we have to go through the wilderness, you know. For as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes, we can borrow your eyes and learn from your experience. And it shall be, verse 32, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same what we do unto thee. And there the episode closes. And for the end of the chapter, we have these words. Not quite a benediction, but almost. And they departed from the mount of the Lord. That's Mount Sinai. 3 days' journey. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them. In the 3 days' journey, to search out a resting place for them. Even in the wilderness, there'd be a resting place. Believe me, it would be needed. And then about the cloud. What about the cloud? That's the pillar of cloud and fire. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord. Let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And then at the end of the day, when they came to set up the encampment again, and they rested, and when it rested, he said, return, O Lord. That's like saying, come back, Lord. Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. What a blessed portion it is. May the Lord speak to our hearts tonight. And we need help from God tonight. You can see how in the singing of these hymns, especially to that last hymn. Oh, who will come and go with me? Who will come? Who tonight in Dromore will come and go with me? When we're bound. We're bound for the promised land. With that in mind, we turn to the book of Numbers chapter 10. And we have verse 29 there. And you go home, you might like to mark it in your own Bible. These are historic words. They really touch the heart. I feel they touch my heart. We go back to that scene just at the great plain of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai and neighboring peaks towering up above them. And their encampment there. That vast plain, Mount Sinai, in the desert. And Hobab, so close to Moses. And these men are speaking person to person, face to face. Look at it, verse 29. Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. This is what he says. We're journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. And if he was an Ulster man, he would throw in a few more wee words. He'd say, I tell you what, wouldn't he? Just, that would be the way of putting it. We're going, and I tell you what, come lie with us. And we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. It's a lovely, lovely message. And I need help from God to deliver it. Just let's pray for a moment or two. The Bible's lying open here. Lord, we thank thee for tonight. For the special singing and the invitation there, and then in the general singing, the singing of the congregation in this hymn but moments ago, with such a powerful message to the soul. Continue, Lord, tonight. Help in the ministry. We pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen. Every child of God is here to be a witness on this earth. It is a sacred privilege for him to be able to lift up his voice and to tell his friends, listen, this is what the Lord has done for my soul. And he could go on perhaps like this. Once I was afar off from God. Once I was lost in sin and on the road to perdition. But then the Lord stepped in and he has wonderfully saved me. And now I know that all my sins, every one of them, have been put away. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have made my robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And I know now, as sure as I speak, that my name is written down in heaven. It's written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now I can say, I belong to the Lord. No question about it. I'm his forever. I also know if I die tonight, I'll go to be with the Lord. I'll go to heaven for sure. I'll be in his presence. It was on the Friday morning, the 5th of January 2007, that I lay on a trolley outside the operating theatre in Belfast City Hospital. It was, as best as I can recollect, about 6:30 in the morning. I was scheduled for surgery, serious surgery. And given the time, I was first in the line. That's the way it happened. And the trolley was wheeled right up against the doors of the operating theater. I can still see it yet. The doors were shut, and the windows only allowed you to see the movement of shadowy figures on the other side. And I knew that the staff were preparing for the operations of the day, and for mine in particular. And the thought came to me while I was lying there, ready to be wheeled in. Never been in hospital in my life. The thought came to me, this is serious. This is a serious surgery. Very serious. It was very serious in my sight. A thought came, I could die here this morning. And if I die this morning, I'm going to be in glory. I'm going to meet the Lord today. And then the thought came, but my wife won't know. My family won't know. Certainly all the friends in the congregation at Lisburn won't know that I have talked to the Lord about this just before being admitted to the theater. They won't know that I have considered these things, committed myself again to his care. Obviously, the Lord answered prayer and brought me through that surgery. And yet another one after that again. And God has been good. But the child of God can say, whatever the circumstances, I know if that hour comes for me, when the Lord calls my name and opens the door of heaven for me to step in, I know for a certainty that I go to be with Christ. And every child of God can say that. Every child of God in this meeting occupies that same position. You're here to be a witness. You're here to speak of Christ. And I hope that by your tongue, sometimes you can talk about him. You may not be preaching all the time, but the Lord will give you an opportunity somehow, sometime, to say a little word for him and do it with prayer. But even if you never get to speak of him, I trust your life will tell for him. And yet with it all, we have this desire in our hearts to bring others with us. We don't want to go home to heaven alone. It is our thought, if the Lord has saved me, called me to journey to heaven, I want to bring others too. And it's got to be said, when we look into this passage of Scripture, it's a striking passage. We've got to say, one of the reasons why God has allowed this incident, it's such that it might have been left out. If the Lord had allowed for it, it might have been left out. And not a soul here would have missed it. Just a conversation like this. Between one man bound for the promised land and another man who has no mind to go. And this good man is saying to his friend, come with us. Come with us today. For God is interested. This is surely the message here. God has an interest in sinners. And God has an interest in the salvation of sinners. And that means God is interested in your conversion. The Lord is looking for you to be saved. And not only so, I'll tell you this. God has an interest in saving people, not only in general, but he has an interest in particular in saving those who have family connections with the people of God. So if your father's saved, your mother is saved, your brother is saved, or your sister is saved, and so we can go on down through the family line. And if you can say on one of these counts, yes, that's right, my sister's saved. Or if you can say, it's true, my mother is a Christian, has been saved for years. Then God has a particular interest in you to see you come to the Lord. Because that's brought out here in the passage very vividly. You can see it right there at the beginning of verse 29. Moses is not speaking to a stranger. He could have said this to a stranger, but that's not what the record shows. He's not talking to a stranger. He's speaking to one associated with the family. The family connection's there. And Moses is saying to his father-in-law, it's as plain as anything, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord has said, I will give it you. And then I threw in the Ulsterism, remember. I tell you what, come you with us, and we will do you good. Just you come too. I count that to be a powerful word. And so that God's speaking to you. As Moses puts it, we're going to Canaan's fair and happy land. And not only so, but surely it's clear to you if you've, and you did read the passage, yes. But if you were able to give all your thoughts, all your concentration to the reading of those verses, you will have seen something. That already the day had come for the camp to be in the move. And I dare say, Moses at this time, talking to Hobab, is pointing with his finger. He's saying, look, the tents are coming down. You know all the people were living in tents, the tribes of Israel. The tents are coming down, he says. And look here, because Moses' tent, hear this very carefully, Moses' tent is right there at the entrance to the tabernacle, the house of the Lord. And he's saying, or able to say, the tabernacle of the Lord, look at it, is being dismantled as I speak. And yonder, look at the wagons. They're being filled with all their belongings. And you must recognize, we have not long to stay. We're on the move. We know where we're going. We're going to Canaan's fair and happy land. And we want you to come with us and do us good. That authorizes me to say, oh, God's interested in you. You can see it in the Bible, how the Lord is saying to a Christian, what about your friends? Don't you want them to come? What about your sister? What about your brother? How about your father, your mother? Is it a child who's here tonight? What about you? I say on the authority of this word that while God shows an interest in the salvation of sinners, it must be argued that God gives special attention to those who can say, now my father saved, my mother saved, my sister, my son, my daughter saved, but I'm not. And God's speaking to you. There's a link already, you see, between you and the people of God. Let me tell you, you needn't turn it up, but I'm looking at Genesis 19, verse 12. Even Lot, and you know Lot didn't cut much territory when it came to living for God. You would say the man was backslidden. You might say the man was unworthy, but then everybody's unworthy when you start to think about it. Well, even Lot, when the angels of God came knocking on his door, it's Genesis 19, verse 12. I read the following. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Then they elaborate on that. Well, the question's plain enough. Have you anybody else here in town? Son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in this city.
Bring them out of this place. We will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. The city's doomed. Sinners living in that city are doomed to hell. And the time is short. It's not a case this time of saying the wagons are being filled, the tents are coming down, the time is short. But yet in another sense here, when morning comes, it'll be the last sunrise for Sodom. And God saying through the angels to Lot, what about your family, Lot? And you know how Lot went, it says, a little later. Lot, in response to that, went to one house. There's more than one. And he's saying, get up. Get up. Remember, darkness has come. Probably the family are already in bed. So it's not a good hour to come. It's not a happy hour. And he's saying, come on, get out of here. God has warned me. You've only a little time or you'll perish. And the scripture says, so movingly, he seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. His sons-in-law, mark it, plural. Everybody knows what that means, more than one. So I don't know how many daughters he had. Two were unmarried, but I don't know how many were. At least we can say there were two, perhaps three. Who knows? Sons-in-law. He went to the next one. He couldn't wait there. He couldn't plead with them any longer. He went to the next one. And he sang just in the same terms. Come on, get out of here. God has spoken. The place is doomed. Get out of this place. And again, the same result. And his daughter there. His daughter separated. Just treated it like a joke. Like it was a laugh. Like there was no sense to it. I tell you tonight, God had an interest even in those families. Isn't that powerful? Even those families that looked on the message as being a mere mockery. God had an interest in getting the message right to them. Go to them. Your son-in-law, the angel said, mark it well, your daughters, whatsoever, then the word come, whatsoever you have here, get out of this place, get out now. You can see how I said a moment ago, God has an interest in the salvation of sinners. But I think I am allowed to say, God has a special interest in your salvation. If you can say, my father is a Christian, my mother is a Christian, my sister's a Christian, but I'm not. And God has an interest in you because so many in your family are already saved. You see that? And everybody knows. It's been taught in the Sunday school. I'll call him the wild man of Gadara. He frightened the life out of people. People avoided the part of the country where he roamed about all night and all day, never acquiring any sleep. The man had no rest. He broke the chains that men wrapped around him. Such was the mighty power he had. And then the Lord came by and changed it all, saved his soul. And there he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And the joy of God within, and the desire there to follow the Lord fully, everywhere. Just loved the Lord's presence. When before he hated the Lord. And he said, Lord, I want to go with you. But our Savior denied him that opportunity. And said, go home. Couldn't the rest of you fill it in? I believe you could. Everybody in the congregation, all of you could fill in the rest. What did the Lord say? Go home and tell who? Tell thy friends. Wasn't Wasn't the Lord interested in the friends of the man who got saved? And so here we are with Moses seeking to speak to Hobab, his father-in-law. And he'll hand out the invitation right royally. And he said, come with us. And how did he proceed? What persuasions did Moses use? First of all, look at verse 29. Moses spoke, and I'm using the words that are there. He's going to a place, he says. We're going to a place. Oh, the Christian knows where he's going. Moses is saying, well, we've been here at Sinai more than a year. And now the time has come for us to go. We're pulling down the tents. We're filling up the wagons. We're on the way. We're on the way to Canaan. We want you to come with us. That's the invitation. We're going to a place. And when our Lord speaks to his disciples, he refers to a place. In John 14, for example, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is not a figment of the imagination. To be going to heaven is wonderful. And I told you moments ago how lying there in that trolley, possibly facing death, that's how it looked to me. And certainly it was very, very serious as far as I was concerned. I would see my recovery as being like a miracle. Certainly an answer to prayer. But I knew that day, if death came knocking at the door, I knew I was going to a place that outshines the sun. I go to prepare a place for you. And that's what the Lord says. It's a place not seen as yet. Moses hadn't seen the land of promise. The people in Israel living there in those tents, they hadn't seen the land. But although it was not seen as yet, they were pressing on with God. And so the Bible says, speaking about heaven and speaking about all of God's revelation, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, the heart of man has not yet conceived it. And yet, you and I have been listening to the word all these years, familiarizing ourselves with the scriptures, listening to the things of God closely. And yet here's the Lord saying, for all that, eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, and it has not entered into the heart of man to conceive it, what God has prepared for them that love him. No wonder the child of God, on certain occasions, has left behind the record, there's the Lord come today for me. I must rise up and go with him. A loved one has heard that remark coming from one on his or her deathbed. There's the Lord. He's come for me today to take me home. And you see, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the wonderful thing God has prepared for them that love him. We're going to a place like that, to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie, we were singing tonight. That's why I'm speaking to you tonight. We're going to a place. You see, look again, Moses based his invitation on the authority of God's word, because he says here in verse 29, we're going on to the place of which the Lord said. The Lord, he has the word of God for it. And furthermore, he says at the end of verse 29, the second time, do you see, in the same verse, the second time, the emphasis on the scriptures, what God has said, the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. How do I know I'm saved? I have a word of God. I can put my finger in the very page, the very verse, to show you my authority for saying I'm a child of God. When I was a young man and working in a builder's yard, and then later went out onto the building sites. I might have served my time there if the Lord hadn't called me. Well, I was in the process of doing that, and God called me to come prepare for the ministry. But I made it my purpose every lunch break to go around some of the people I knew, even if it was only, "How are you?" and I haven't got their names yet, to go and say a few words to them about the Lord. And I noticed this man, he's very withdrawn, very unsociable. He wasn't very happy looking, never talked to anybody. But I felt, still, you need the word of God. And sooner or later, I went into the house where he was working on his own. And I spoke to him right away. "Just come to ask you about the Lord," I said. "What about the way of salvation?" He looked at me. I wasn't too happy. He said, "Are you saved?" I said, "I certainly am." He said, he took me again by surprise. He said, "How do you know?" Well, I said, "I know. I know because I came to the Lord. And I asked the Lord to be my Savior. I was there." I don't think I said this, but this was certainly the gist of it. "I was there when it happened, and I ought to know." And I said, "On top of it all, I have the Word of God as my authority. How do I know I'm saved?" I said, "Take John 6:37, which was one of the verses I contemplated the hour I was saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." I said, "It's an easy thing for me to turn up John 6:37 for you, if you want me to. And I'll put my finger right there on the spot and say, there's my authority. The Lord has spoken." What does the Christian rest on? Not his feelings. Nobody here wants to be depending on feelings. You can't say, "Oh, I'm a Christian because I feel I'm a Christian." And then maybe tomorrow your feelings will not be good and your feelings will not be right. And you might wonder whether or not, after all, do you know the Lord? You're doing the wrong thing. You don't depend on your feelings. I'm not a Christian because I feel saved. I'm a Christian because I have received Christ. I'm a Christian because the Lord finished the work. I'm a Christian because the Lord promised. God promised that if I would come to him, he would take me in. And I did come. And the Lord is good for his word. You see the invitation? This is tremendous. Moses is saying to Hobab, "Come on, come with us. We're going to a place. And the Lord has spoken about it. For sure he has. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." And the authority that he gave is right too. The Lord has spoken. The Lord has told us. And can't you depend on him? That's the thing. You're going to say tonight, "If I be a Christian, I'm going to put all my dependence on what the Lord has said." And so we take that step and come. And then Moses showed the advantage of receiving the invitation, because he says, "Come thou with us," verse 29, you have it there, "come thou with us and we will do thee good." It doesn't say, "Oh, come with us and we'll do you harm. Come with us and you'll suffer a terrible loss." There may be somebody saying tonight, "I don't want to be a Christian because I would have to give up all that much, because I would suffer this way and that way. I would have no life." You don't know the first thing about it. You haven't started to live. You've never tasted the cup of life. I tell you this, if you knew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would never think to talk like that. Listen tonight. There's the advantage. He says here, the Lord has spoken good. It's going to be good for you, Hobab, to journey with us. It's going to be not only the right thing, but it's good. You have the advantage of coming. Many benefits, many, many blessings in coming to Christ. And then he says, the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. That's the last line of the verse. And again he says, whatever the Lord has promised us, and we rejoice in the good that we have, we'll share it with you. That's verse 29 also. We will do thee good as well. The Lord will do you good, and we will do thee good. There's every reason why. Isn't that the thing? Every reason why you should be a Christian. And no reason, no real reason at all why you should refuse the Lord. And then he says, you can serve the Lord too if you come. And I can say that to you. I was illustrating that in the reading, wasn't I? Saying, well, you see, these people that Moses had under his care in the tents and so on, they'd never been in the wilderness. They had lived before in the land of Egypt. Whereas Hobab was different. He was from a child. From a child he was used in the wilderness. And he knows his way around the mountains and the gullies and the hard terrain. And he is involved in trekking through the wilderness. And he said, you can be a help to us. And maybe somebody here tonight has been lost in sin for years. You've been away there in the world. And yet the Lord can save you too, although you've been in the wilderness. And if the Lord saves you, he can use you as a witness to others for what the Lord means to you as your Savior. And then I have to point this out above all tonight. You see verse 30. I find it amazing, in a way. I find it amazing. And we did take time with it in the reading. And he said unto him, that Hobab answered. And he said, I will not go. After all that, it was Moses who was saying, come with us. He was no mean man. He was Moses, the eminent servant of God. Moreover, he says, we're going to a place, Canaan's fair and happy land. That was a good reason to go. Moreover, he says, the Lord has spoken about it, giving us a clear message before we go. And God's word is here. God is speaking tonight. For him to say no means he's saying no to God. It means he's saying no to Jesus Christ. It means he's saying no to the Bible. It means he's saying no to heaven. It means he's saying no to his hope of salvation. It's a terrible thing to say no. Yet the words are so strong there. He doesn't say, oh, well, I'm not sure. He plainly says, I will not go. And rather, do you see the second part of the verse? I will depart. That, if we just translate that into plain speech, although the word depart, you don't need a dictionary to understand it. But let me just put it even more simply. I will go. And we could put in the word instead. Let me go instead to my own land and to my friends, my kindred. So now we're getting to the thing that Hobab is saying here. I have my friends to think about. And I don't want to give them up. If your friends are worth the name, you'll not want them to keep you out of heaven. If your friends are worth the name, if they're the right kind of friends, your friends will help you to be a Christian. Allow me to come very near to you and say this genuinely. If you have the kind of friends who are keeping you back from the Lord, you've got the wrong friends. And you'll rue the day before long that you ever had friends like that. It goes without saying, if we talk about Belfast, if we talk about Banbridge, if we talk about Lurgan, if we talk about Portadown, why not about Lisburn? Yeah. We have young people in Lisburn and in all these places I've mentioned whose lives have been wrecked forever because of the friends they found one place or another. Friends that are leading them to hell, but not only that, friends who are the very instrument used at the weekend or through the weeknights to ruin their lives. If I think of one of my sons, and going back to when, I don't know, was he 10 or 11, and friends with another boy. He was a nice fellow, outgoing, a happy fellow. And they were very close, these two boys, and wasn't a trouble to have. He was a nice fellow to have as your son's friend. But his mother, you see, wanted him to have good companions. And she judged my son to be a good companion. But she wasn't happy with the idea that my son was saved. And she didn't want my son to lead her boy to church in case he would be saved. And that was a sad mistake. Because that boy, I could just give you his name, but I won't. Cheery boy, a fine boy, a lovely boy. He met friends who introduced him to the drugs. It might be a question of whether you'll have the drugs or Christ. It'll make all the difference between heaven and hell. And not only so, it can make all the difference between your survival in the world. You'll live, and then you'll die. And today that lad is grown up, mother's dead and gone. His life is a wreck, he's just an empty shell. If he met me prior to these experiences, he would have greeted me by name. His eyes have been sparkling, the big smile on his face. And there we could walk. I only met him once. He never recognized me. He just walked past me like a ghost of a fellow. And his mind was cleared. His mind was not focusing. He's nothing like a fellow. Could it be said, I don't want to start out for heaven because I don't want to give up my friends? You wouldn't want friends like that, who would destroy your character and your life and your future every way. That's a mistake. I tell you, it was an advantage. Let me show you the good, he said. We'll do you good. That can't be said of the world. God won't say of the wicked, oh, they'll do you good. No, just the opposite. My time is rushing away on me. Let me just try and say this. The man said no. He's saying no to the Lord. He's saying, I'm going to go to my own country. He had his own country and he had his own friends. And that's what he's thinking about. His own friends. Doesn't want to give up his friends. And he's putting his country up alongside the promised land that God has prepared for his people. He's putting his country up alongside that and saying, I don't want to give up my country. I don't want to give up my friends. A girl came. She's weeping out of a big tent meeting. She's going across the way to another building where people were being counseled and she would be helped to Christ. And she was saying, some heard her say, I can't go to hell for anybody in this world. And later on it emerged that she was very well brought up, came from a wealthy and influential family. And that family had plans for her future, but Jesus Christ did not figure in those plans. They had no room for Christ. And the girl knew that. I will displease my father. My mother will be intensely annoyed if I become a Christian. For me to take my place as a sinner there at the foot of the cross and receive Christ. But she's saying, I don't care. I won't go to hell for anybody in this world. And she came through for Christ. I ask you to come. We just closed the record there. The man said no. And the camp moved on. Well, I have a reason to say, when we don't have this bit of the story, mind you,
I have reason to say that later on Hobab changed. And he took the invitation. And we see in the later record traces of his family in the land of Canaan. So I'm glad that Moses didn't give up. And Moses kept on the job. And he kept on saying, but no, wait a minute, come on, come with us. And he re-emphasized the message, and the man came. Let's bow in prayer. Hobab came, although at the start he said no. And here you are, you have refused the Lord for these years. And has the Lord given up on you? No, he has not. Are you going to take the Lord tonight? You know what it means? God has a special interest in saving sinners. And he has a special interest in those whose relatives already belong to the Lord. He's saying to you, you're coming tonight. Right through in the sight of Christ. Don't go away without the Lord. I know when others get up to go, it has a tendency to influence you to get up and go as well. Remember, tonight's important that you seek the Lord here. That you become a Christian. You start out for heaven. The Lord said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I want you to stay. Young person, I want you to stay. Older person, man or woman, I want you to stay tonight. Christians are praying in this meeting. They're asking the Lord to speak with you. I want you to come tonight. Oh, come with us, God's saying. Come with us. Lord, speak on tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.